It's time to recap this weekend's NFL action on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. But they got to win. Steelers escape Indianapolis. And I mean escape Indianapolis with a 2017 win. Time to talk to our man, Jeff Hartman, who covers the Steelers for SB Nation. What's going on, Jeff?
It's good. How's it going with you guys?
By you guys, do you mean those of us here in Houston, those of us who are fans of the Giants? I mean, which of you guys are you talking about? Because all around it sucks.
Well, I guess you just answered my question.
All right, so Steelers, did they forget they had a game today? I mean, did they know they had to play the first half? I mean, how did all that work out?
Well, it certainly seemed like they kind of sleptwalked their way through the first half. And then the second half, a much improved team on both sides of the football, especially defensively. And Ryan Shazier was quoted after the game by saying that a lot of players in the locker room were even saying that, you know, it just felt weird. They weren't back into the swing of things yet. Essentially, that it took them a while to get back in the groove, I guess. Most people, myself included, wouldn't think that would be an issue, you know, with a 7-2 or 6-2 coming into this week football team. But nonetheless, they're playing a subpar opponent. They're on the road. They're able to squeak out a win. It wasn't pretty, like you said, in the lead. But I'll tell you what, the Steelers are a very gritty team. They're not an easy out. They definitely tried to give this game away. But in the second half, like I said, much improved team.
Yeah, well, did they even have 100 yards of offense in the first half?
No. Well, you know, they had the last drive that equated in a field goal to make the score 10-3 going into halftime. I think they might have eclipsed 100 on that drive. Before that drive, they were under 60 yards of total offense. It was atrocious. They've just been out of sync for a long time, and that was kind of the it kind of felt like it came to a head on that drive. And then in the second half, they slowly worked out the kinks, but it's still not a finished product.
You know, it's unusual if I were to tell you, well, Le'Veon Bell didn't have a great game. He didn't get in the end zone. And Antonio Brown was dropping passes, and he didn't get in the end zone. Oh, but the Steelers won. I know Roethlisberger had that whole thing about, you know, am I going to retire at the end of the year? You know, last season, you know, was he going to come back? And he kind of let everybody sit around for it. And I know Roethlisberger's got a little bit of drama queen in him. But watching him this year, where he seems to go through these bouts for, like, you know, instead of being a drive or two, now it's like a quarter or two, where he's just all out of sorts. And like in the first half today, it just seemed like Roethlisberger, I don't know what was up with him. He was just all out of sorts.
Yeah, there's really no way of – I don't think that Roethlisberger is comfortable in the offense. For some reason, it's been the same offense under Todd Haley that he's been in for the past several years. I don't think he is – comfortable with his progression and even with his receivers. Ben Roethlisberger throughout his career has been a very, I guess you would call it a very trusting quarterback. Meaning, if you don't have his trust, he's not going to throw you the football, whether you're open or not. So a player like Eli Rogers, who actually played well in 2016, you know, he drops that easy touchdown in week 8, and it's no, you know, it's not a surprise to me that he doesn't get many targets in week 10, their next game back. Martavis Bryant goes off and, you know, has his little hissy fit on social media. And it's not a shock that, you know, he was seeing less targets prior to this game. I thought he had a good game today. But I think Roethlisberger is best at his best when he is in more control as a line of scrimmage, even in a kind of no-huddle type offense. But for some reason, I don't know if it's the Mike Tomlin or if it's just Todd Haley, but someone's not letting them do that, and Roethlisberger's comments to the media have been very, very clean. Where they clear when they asked him about the no huddle, he said, "Well, that's on Todd," referring to Todd Haley. So there might be a little bit of a disconnect there between the two. I don't think that'd be news to anybody, but he definitely does not look comfortable And I think he can still make the throws. I think that's important to say. His deep ball accuracy has kind of gone away a little bit. But other than that, he can still make all the throws. So he doesn't look like he's aging, which naturally that happens. But I don't know. He just doesn't look comfortable. That's the best way I can put it.
Is there concern that he won't be back next year?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the Steelers, if they were to be brash enough to say, yeah, we think that he's going to just keep playing and, you know, another 2 or 3 years, they can't have that mindset anymore. Roethlisberger has continued to say that he doesn't know what's going to happen, that he's going to weigh his options at the end of the season, talk to his family. You know, it's basically turning into a Brett Favre 2.0. Every year the Steelers and their fan base is going to have to wonder, is he or isn't he not? Is he not going to play? And so I don't know where his mind is right now. The team's 7-2. You look at their defense; it's improving. It's young. They have a lot of good players on offense as well. The offensive line's intact and under contract for the next few years. You would think that Roethlisberger might want to continue to play because it would still give him a chance to win. But you don't know. So I think the Steelers would be foolish to think that he is definitely coming back next year.
And they're going to have to also address the contract with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, what are they going to do with Le'Veon Bell?
I wouldn't be shocked if they franchise tag him again. It would be just $2 million more than what they're offering him this year. They have some ways to free up some cap space. Other than that, a guy like Mike Mitchell, who has a pretty healthy tag, they could maybe get rid of him, replace him with a younger player, maybe in the draft, a safety. I think that they're going to try to give him a long-term deal, but if it doesn't work out, I think they're fully comfortable and prepared to give him another franchise tag tender. Now, will he hold out for the entire preseason again? Well, I don't know. But I think the team will do what they did last year. I should say coming into this year, they'll try to get a deal done. They're going to give him what they think is their best offer. They'll see how the year finishes up and where he ranks amongst the other running backs in the league and stuff of that nature. But if he doesn't feel that it's enough for him, then I think they're prepared to franchise tag him again.
What about Martavis Bryant?
He's still under contract, too. He's definitely an option for trade. A lot of people might laugh at that, but I think that if people, 6'4" receivers that can run like a 4.4 40 and have the jumping ability that he does, that don't just grow on trees. He does have the issue with the suspension and things of that nature, but if there's one thing the Steelers can do, they know how to draft receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster is a perfect example. They know how to pick them. They know how to find ones that fit in their system. If they did decide to trade Bryant in the offseason, I have no doubt they'd be able to bring in someone else that would be able to at least fit their system and be successful, similar to Smith-Schuster. But if they don't find a trade partner that they feel is giving them what they feel is his value, then they keep him. And he could be disgruntled, but he doesn't have any options. You know, when he was suspended for that 1 year, in 2016, that didn't count as a year of service that the Steelers kept his rights for another 2 years. So, again, the ball's in the Steelers' court there. They could trade him if they feel that the trade is worthwhile, but if not, they'll hold on to him.
Jeff Hartman covers the Steelers for SB Nation. How can people find you on Twitter?
Follow the official Behind the Steel Curtain Twitter feed at DT Steel Curtain, or you can follow me personally at BNG Blitz. Those work well.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you.
When everybody in the city might really hate the coach. Next.